Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Tim with Walker. Steve Jordahl joins us.
Good morning, everybody.
And Ray Pritchard is with us in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo. Thank you for listening to AFR. And Dr. Alex McFarland is with us from the Tar Heel State. Alex, before Steve jumps into the news, you're going to talk about it.
I do. Yeah, I have a story for him.
A story for Alex. But let me just say this, and talking about what Ray was giving us a biblical understanding of humanity and race relations earlier, last hour, because we are a Christian radio network, so that should be our first and foremost. We should care what the Bible says about this, right? Good night. Can I not get an amen on that?
Amen.
Okay. Amen, amen.
Sorry to worry about you pagans here. Good night. The first thing we can do, right, is how we individually treat other people. Mm-hmm. And regardless of their skin color, but how do I, Alex, talk about that for just a moment, because that's the first test to me on, you know, are we honoring God with our attitudes, actions, or are we dishonoring Him with our attitudes and actions towards other people?
Yeah. I mean,
does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. George Washington, our first president, wrote a book on manners and civility. And you know how sometimes people make a joke about the Victorian era? You know, that's something is old fashioned, that's so Victorian. But do you know a lot of the, In the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, just the call to be mannerly and courteous and civil was really born out of the Christian conviction that when I show respect to others, I'm really honoring God. George Washington told the troops of the Continental Army that they were to be civil and courteous because that was the godly thing to do. And equitable treatment, and our country was founded on these beliefs. You know, by the way, I've got to say this, and I've dialogued with so many people. Even this week, I've dialogued with people that have blown up my email because in a couple of interviews, I've said, you know, really all lives matter. Biblically and constitutionally, all lives matter. I'm not saying black lives don't matter. You know, in Bible school, we sang red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. All human beings are precious in the eyes of God. But we don't just say black lives matter. We say all lives matter. And I mean, people have torn me apart on Facebook and email because I say all lives matter. But I won't budge from that conviction. But all males and females of all ethnicities are made in the image of God. They're people for whom Christ died. And we've got to have the courage to say, as our founders did, that all human lives matter.
Alex, Steve here. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Hey, first of all, I want to tell you I'm triggered because you mentioned white slave owner George Washington, just so you know. You have been talking for a while about your concern for the Southern Baptist movement and its leftward drift and its embracing of tokens of progressive culture to appeal to the world and everything. You brought a story to my attention just before we went on the air, and J.D. Greer was having a little talk on video with his flock and with the Southern Baptists, and I want to play you a little bit of what he said, and then I'd like to get your comment on that. This is Cut 6.
The problem with creeds in the church is that when the church decides something is important and they put it in a creed, all the heretics figure out a way to smuggle their old heresies under the new words of the creed. Well, in some ways, the word gospel is like that. We know that many in our country, particularly our brothers and sisters of color right now, are hurting. Southern Baptists, we need to say it clearly as a gospel issue. Black lives matter. And by the way, let's not respond by saying, oh, well, all lives matter. Let's spare each other the quotation of stats right now. You know, if you talk to some black friends, you'll know that they can tell you about their experiences and how some of them can be quite different. Black lives matter. And by the way, I realize that the movement and the website has been hijacked by some political operatives whose worldview and policy prescriptions will be deeply at odds with my own. But that doesn't mean that the sentiment behind it is untrue.
Does that disclaimer make everything clear to you, Alex?
No, because, by the way, by trying to say that the Black Lives Matter movement has been hijacked, that's like people saying that terrorism doesn't represent real Islam. You know, let me say that for one thing, as an ordained Southern Baptist, that's of the 2,200 American churches I've had the honor of speaking in, probably 50% have been Southern Baptist churches. And I can say unequivocally that the messaging and the posturing, and frankly, I would say the PC pandering of J.D. Greer doesn't represent the viewpoints and convictions of the majority of Southern Baptist clergy or laity, and certainly don't represent myself.
What do you think
because
about
that? Because you're racist.
Exactly.
You know, J.D. Greer doing this video is like President Trump trying to send the military into Seattle to fix their problem. Because this is not a Southern Baptist problem.
Yeah.
And so J.D. Greer addressing the Southern Baptist as if we're the problem, because I'm a Southern Baptist, as if we're the problem, we need to apologize, we need to declare out loud, Black Lives Matter, and then we'll prove that we're all not racist. To me, that's just not true. If we want to speak on the issue and about how George Floyd's death was wrong and the police officers should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, we can, but we don't need to be lectured on an issue that we're not struggling with.
Well, let me ask you, Ray, you're Southern Baptist.
Right.
We 100 years from now, we're going to be repeating this same...
If it's up to them, we will.
You know what I mean? This same mantra?
I don't see how that statement from J.D. Greer advances anything at all. Because he basically said that to say Black Lives Matter is a, quote, gospel issue. I don't get that. That sounds much more like a political statement to me. And, Alex, I'm comfortable with the way that you framed it. Do Black Lives Matter? Yes, because all lives matter to God, right? Mm-hmm. And we ought to say that over and over again. And if we get pilloried for it, then so be it.
And by the way, don't bring up statistics.
That's what he said.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. Don't conflate my great soundbite with truth.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you have to talk. That's insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
To say if you're going to discuss a topic, okay, what are the statistics and the facts? What do they show?
So many young leaders, and you know, I have to be careful how I say this because I thank God for young people going into the ministry. But within the Southern Baptist ranks, and I mean, I used to work for the North American Mission Board, and I mean, over the last 31 years, my involvement with the SBC regionally, nationally, and internationally has been extensive. So I know how the SBC works, although, you know, with apologetics, I've spoken in churches of every strata, but let me just say this: there is a genre of kind of what I would call hipster, left leaning progressive young ministers, and I mean they eat out of the palm of the hand of J.D. Greer and Russell Moore,
the skinny jeans crowd,
the skinny jeans goatee crowd.
I know what you're talking about.
They really. I've got a question: if they're even really making disciples. Because I would say this, you know, Christianity is to be born again and then to commit one's life to Jesus and the Great Commission. And let me say this, as a tithing Southern Baptist, look, I take great issue with JD top down, you know, coaching me on this PC posturing. I don't need JD Greer to tell me how bad I am and how wrong I am and how I have to, you know, be mentored by a wiser elite like himself. This is why SBC leaders and my dear brother, Ronnie Floyd, if you're listening, everybody's asking, why is the SBC experiencing the biggest drop in giving and growth in 100 years? It's because we don't want to be the subset, the sectarian arm of the Democrat Party. That's why. And we're not going to be.
Yeah, I just think, you know, this Promise Keepers, the organization, did a tremendous outreach and a tremendous job all back during, I guess it was the early 90s?
Yeah.
Of racial reconciliation. That was one of their main themes back then.
Yeah.
And so a lot was accomplished through those efforts of Promise Keepers. And it just appears to me we at some point we're gonna keep coming back to this issue every 3 or 4 years, or when something happens in the news, and getting, you know, and beating ourselves up by beating, I'm talking about white Christians or white Americans, mm-hmm. and told we don't love black people or we don't care about when our everyday existence. And we're not racist. We know we're not, and we try our best to treat all people equally. And yet, we're told just because of our skin color, mm-hmm. we're supposed to apologize. It's just bizarro to me, and it is never ending.
Right.
It's never ending.
Liberals and progressives need to keep the segments of the population in distress.
Right.
And they need to keep them upset and victims in order to control them and to get them to vote the way they want. And race is one of the ways that they do that. And so they...
When J.D. Greer says this, and I want to move on. He says, as Southern Baptists, we need to say it clearly as possible. We need to say it clearly as a gospel issue. Black lives matter. Of course, Black lives matter. Our black brothers and sisters are made in the image of God. Black lives matter because Jesus died for them. It makes me think, you feel the need to say this because what? You didn't say it last week, or this is a revelation to you? You know what I'm saying, Ray? This is a new revelation that, guess what? Christians should love all people, including white Christians should love black folks. That's new. So you failed in this area. Mm-hmm. So we need to repent again and again and again and again and again and again. Yeah, anyway, Ray, anything to add to my statement?
No, except that it just when you listen to that clip from JD, it sounds like he is really emphasizing, he wants us to say those three words and nothing else and leave the statistics out. So then it just becomes a slogan, a mantra. We're just political. Saying it because our leader has told us to, devoid of anything else. You're right, Tim. Christians believe God loves everybody, and all men and women are made in the image of God, and therefore they are all valuable in His sight, and we ought to say that.
I think a lot of this is just wanting to be patted on the back by the world.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it feels good to parrot these slogans.
It's called being woke. We're woke, too.
Yeah, we're woke, too, and I'm more woke than you.
Woker.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Alex, have a good day, my friend. Take care.
God bless you all. Thank you for all you do.
All right, Dr. Alex McFarland. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. As I said yesterday, when I was thinking about this whole issue and the racial tensions that are happening in America today, I just thought, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. That song just came mm-hmm. back to me, and that not only for racial tensions, but for all the problems that we see in our country, which are oftentimes reported in the news and political and
written by a black man, I believe.
Contentious. That was?
I think it was Andre Crouch wrote that.
Yeah, I think so. Andre
really?
Crouch, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's the one who made that song famous, that's for sure.
That's awesome to know. I didn't even know that. All right, Steve, what else you got good?
You know that one of the discussions that's going on around the country is defunding or getting rid of police departments. Yesterday in Washington, the House Judiciary Committee decided to take up the issue of defunding the police, and Democrats asked their witnesses who were in favor of this to come in, and Republicans actually got to invite some of their witnesses. I wanted to play you a little bit from that hearing. You're going to hear first from Angela Underwood Jacobs. She is the sister of Patrick Jacobs, who was a black police officer gunned down in Oakland, California on the courthouse steps. And then you're going to hear from former NYPD officer and Secret Service officer Dan Bongino. I want you to hear what they had to say. This is Cut 4.
It is a ridiculous solution to proclaim that defunding police departments is a solution to police brutality and discrimination. It gets us nowhere as a nation and removes the safety net of protection that every citizen deserves.
The Defund the Police movement will target these heroes. They are the police, these people. It's not some amorphous mass that will be affected. It's real heroes in real time, right now. Removing these heroes from your communities and my community will do nothing but ensure chaos and destruction. We can and should commit to police accountability. There's no question about that. But we can do it without shredding the thin wall between civilization and chaos. I ask you, please, with the greatest of respect and humility, please stop this defund the police abomination before someone gets hurt.
That's good.
He's very well spoken.
That's good, and he's right. You know, the police, which you're not hearing this right now, but the police and our entire law enforcement, whether it be prosecutors or our entire system, is set up to ensure that good people are protected, no matter what their skin tone, that all Americans are protected, and that people who commit injustices, like the officer in Minneapolis, are brought to justice and face punishment. That's what police do. They make sure everything's fair and that people and property are protected. So you take that away, you're going to make things worse on many levels.
By the way, if you were watching this hearing on Fox News, you did not hear any of what I just played, because for some reason Fox News bailed right after the brother of George Floyd spoke. And then they bailed out. President Trump was not very happy. He tweeted out, incredible, Fox News just took congressional hearings off the air just prior to important witness statements, more like CNN. Fox is lost, is what he said.
Yeah, that was unacceptable because they played up to 4 hours of George Floyd's funeral, which is fine. They played Al Sharpton and his propaganda. And then here comes the witnesses that the Republicans brought in for this hearing, and then they cut. They weren't even an hour into it.
Right.
Go on.
All right. Hey, I've been enjoying
Right side. So I don't know.
I was just thinking to myself, what's going to happen is, number one, you're going to have good officers, men and women, who are just going to say, it's not worth it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm taking early retirement. I'm leaving. There's better money to be made, and if you don't feel supported by your department, by the government, and most of all by the public, you're just going to have a mass exodus of men and women who've been wearing the blue proudly. And the second thing that's going to happen is you're going to have young men and women who could make excellent police officers going to say, I'm not even going to bother getting into this.
There could be nothing left to defund.
That's exactly right.
I know. And if you think about it, too, if you start getting down to the second, third, and fourth level of applicants for law enforcement positions, in particular police officers, sheriff's deputies, then you're getting into people maybe who are not as smart, who are less educated, who are not...
They may be good people, but they just shouldn't be police officers.
Or maybe they're not responsible. I'm just saying that... if you have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you get into more problems because you have people who are unqualified.
Correct.
To be police officers, but yet they have to have them. But the reason they're hiring unqualified people, and I'm talking about futuristic here, if we continue to beat up the cops the way we are nationally, then is because the people who would otherwise go into law enforcement are saying what Ray just said, it's not worth it. I can do something else and make just as much or more money.
Right.
Why do I want to risk getting in the car and having one incident ruin my life or getting shot?
Sure.
Right.
And not, you know, so anyway, that's the situation. So that will play out in the next few years if that happens. Greg Gutfeld on Fox, I wanted to get y'all's take on this one. He said it. This is the beginning of the end of big cities. What do you think about that?
I can see most big cities are Democrat-led, and Democrats don't seem to be willing to consider you know, fair-minded answers to any of this. Mm-hmm. They want to defund police officers. We already saw Seattle. I think you mentioned in the first hour, Seattle giving its downtown over to anarchists. So big cities, as we know them, yes, will
people will start to leave in droves.
I don't know where they're going to go because
suburbs are
a lot of them can't afford to go to the suburbs.
Well, that's the sad part is the people who often face the most issues in the inner cities are the ones who can't afford to leave.
Right.
So they'll be left dealing with the policies of Democrats that have been handed down for decades.
You know,
so the rich people can go wherever they want, right?
Right.
In fact, if you're really rich, you got two or three homes anyway. So
even the middle class, some of the middle class
will get out. They'll get out.
We're already seeing an exodus to Texas from California, for example.
Right,
right.
Well, New Yorkers are leaving now,
yeah,
too.
This mixture between the riots, the burning the city down, and then you add in the coronavirus, you know, whatever you want to say about the
high
coronavirus.
High taxation.
The big cities had the biggest issue with the coronavirus.
Homelessness. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of problems that our modern-day big cities have that are...
So naturally, then let's give over six blocks of Seattle and let them have their own...
But you know...
That's the solution.
Even though I wouldn't want to live in a big city, but there are, in red states, in conservative-led cities and states, there are some big cities that are pretty decent to live in because there's law and order. There's the good economy. There's good opportunity.
I haven't heard anybody getting out. No one's given Dallas away.
Right, but when you turn it over to Democrats for 50 years, then you get,
you know,
you get
what,
New York
what's
City.
What's the old saying? Who was it that said the definition of insanity is to keep doing something over and over again?
Over and over again, yeah. Expecting the same result.
Yeah. Expecting a different result.
Right.
And you think about that way. It's that way with these big cities have been voting in Democrats.
Huh? Right.
They've been
over
voting
and
Democrat,
over, again.
Over and over and over and over and over and over again, and yet
Yes. Things
only get worse.
That's like Joe Biden. He's been in politics for 40-plus years, saying the same campaign slogans for 40 years.
I know.
And then look where our country is. He's the solution.
Kayleigh McEnany brought this up. If we have time to play a minute-long clip, this is – I love Kayleigh McEnany. She's been doing such a good job. She was reading a statement from President Trump on the issue of renaming all the military bases that are named after Confederate generals. And listen to what she does on the end. This is cut three.
These monumental and very powerful bases have become part of a great American heritage and a history of winning, victory, and freedom. The United States of America trained and deployed our heroes here and won two world wars. Therefore, my administration will not even consider the renaming of these magnificent and fabled military installations. Our history as the greatest nation in the world will not be tampered with. Where do you draw the line? Is it, should George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison be erased from history? NBC tells us Joe Biden didn't just compromise with segregationists. He fought for their causes in schools, experts say. CNN tells us letters from Joe Biden reveal how he sought support of segregationists in the fight against busing. Washington Post tells us that Biden's tough talk on 1970s schools desegregation plans could get him new scrutiny. And there are several more where that came from. So I'll leave you with the question. Should we then rename the Biden Welcome Center?
With that, she dropped the mic and walked out.
She knows how to end on a good note.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Adam Southers produced our show, tried to maintain control, but was unsuccessful. Our thanks to Dr. Alex McFarlane, Fred Jackson, and thank you for listening to AFR. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll see you back here then.